A very special thanks to our $5 fans, Andrew Anker, Carl Nelson, Stephen Fox, David McCreath, Brendan Adkins, Lucius Kwok, Brian Walsh, Liam Campbell, Gregory Barbosa, James Maidment, Joshua Eli Judd, Scott Fahrig, Mark Ward, and Dylan Mason.
Today's episode of Let's Make Mistakes is brought to you by an event apart.
Woo!
Where you been?
Oh, I was in
Vegas. You weren't here last week.
I was in Vegas. Oh, but not...
You left me alone with Zeldman last week.
I left you alone, but I don't... Oh, I had clients in town, and then I went to Vegas.
Oh.
Those are two separate things.
With the clients?
No.
Anyway, you missed a really good show last week.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
I don't think that the show exists when I'm not here.
I don't know. We got a lot of comments on it.
There's no podcast permanence.
We talked about the history of an event apart.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Anything you
have
care
you heard
to-
this show? You didn't even hear it, did you?
No.
You didn't listen to it.
I've been gone.
Jesus Christ.
I wasn't going to listen to that while I was in Vegas. I had other things to do.
Anyway, I have something else for you to listen to.
Do you?
Yeah, you want to hear a song?
Sure.
It's a good one.
Is this the song that I wished for the other week?
Yes. While you were away, mm-hmm. I made your wish come true. And David mm-hmm. McCreath.
I've heard of him.
Who also does another fine podcast on our network.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded a song for us, Grown Men Fighting on the Internet.
Oh, yes.
And we're all going to hear it right now. Ready?
Ready.
Let's go.
Oh, grown men fighting on the internet. Want to make sure you don't forget that someone's right and someone's wrong. Oh, this will go all night long. Grown men fighting on the internet. Why they won't even break a sweat. Typing their screeds in empty threads. Oh, this will go all night long. I have the best persona, it's mean and thinks it's right. It protects me from opinions that I don't like. All grown men fighting on the internet never say things that they'll regret. Regret implies intelligence, so this will go all night long. Grown men fighting on the internet want you to know you're in their debt for their tireless efforts at etiquette. Oh, this will go all night long. Words fly across my display, some asshole's wrong again. It's my pleasure and my duty to rip him a new one. Oh, grown men fighting on the internet all want to have the last word, you better bet. But there's no last word on the internet. There's no last word on the internet. There is no last word on the internet. Oh, grown men fighting on the internet.
That was awesome.
So
that
good.
Was good. Oh, my God.
It was amazing. Dave, just bravo.
That Dave is talented. Yes.
Have you witnessed any grown men fighting on the internet lately?
Not lately. Mm-hmm. In fact, I cut down on the fighty ones a little bit.
Yeah? How do you do that?
Well, you unfollow Tom Coates.
You always make jokes about this person, and I don't get it.
No, we're going to let it go at that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have Louie.
Yeah, you got Louie.
Yeah.
And you can't unfollow Louie because then you can't see what he's saying.
Oh, I mean, I have him muted. He knows that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid he might be saying something, you know, because he works for you that he shouldn't say?
You know,
do you guys have rules?
Do we have like Twitter rules?
Yeah, like company Twitter. Does Pacific Helm have company Twitter rules?
We don't have like a set of expressed rules. I think that the three of us founders have a pretty good sense for what does and doesn't go on the internet. I think that the only like the only thing we kind of got into originally was whether or not to post things on Dribbble, because Louis is a big dribbler.
Louis is a big dribbler.
He's a big dribbler, which is fine. The only problem was that originally we designed a logo for a company called Sumly that ended up getting bought by Yahoo like last year.
Right.
But a bunch of people commented on Dribbble and they were just like, yeah, this is a bad logo. And it's like, oh, we don't want people to be able to comment on our client work, especially the people on Dribbble.
Right.
Who are just like, hey, the drop shadow is 5 pixels. Like, I'm just making that up, you know. And it's quite often people where it's just like you click into their design profiles and it's just like, you're not anything. You're a nobody. You know? but Twitter's never been a problem for us.
So, yeah, we have one Twitter rule for employees. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about clients.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like a... That's an unwritten rule, but like, oh my God.
I think it needs to be written.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of client complaining I see on there.
Oh, client complaining. I seem to remember when I was at Mule, we had done like a Twitter search for like client plus stupid and like client, like fucking clients and things like that. And
yeah, because I was putting a talk together.
Yeah.
And there was a part in it about, you know, terrible things that people say about clients mm-hmm. online. That's why we were doing that search. Mm-hmm. Found some doozies.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I hate how my fucking client eats his sandwich.
I want to see how that client ate the sandwich.
That was my all-time favorite.
What if it was really bad?
It's true. It could be really bad.
I just last week ate sandwiches with clients. And
I think we've all eaten sandwiches with clients.
No complaints here.
You can't complain about it.
Yeah. I mean,
my clients are delightful.
Oh, so are mine.
They are great at eating their sandwiches. So I would have nothing to complain about. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Still, if
one of my clients were to eat a sandwich a little bit strangely.
And they got like a little bit of sauce on the corner of their mouth or something.
Is there anybody where like you are not a complete stranger, like where you would feel comfortable tweeting about the way they ate a sandwich?
No.
Like, I would only be comfortable doing that, like, completely anonymously. Like, oh, gross person on an airplane row over eating sandwich grossly.
Or bringing a burrito. How do you feel about that? People flying with a burrito?
Twice in the last 12 months have I been sitting near people painting their nails on an airplane.
And that's not a... Well, oh, that's got to stink.
Yeah. I think that that's way worse than burrito.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like chemical smell.
Yeah, there's chemicals in that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's weird. Like, who does that?
Those two people?
Yeah, I know. Maybe it was the same person. I will never really
know. What about nail clipping?
Ugh. Nothing that removes part of your body.
That's a good rule.
Yeah.
If part of your body is coming off or if something is coming out of your body.
There's a place for that.
You got to do it in private.
There's a place for that and a time for that. Not nail clipping. I mean, I've heard some people that are like weird about people brushing their hair because that can...
Well, I mean, it depends where you do it.
It depends where you do it. And like, I feel like there's a polite way of... I mean, I don't just don't be, like, brushing your hair, like, Rapunzel style. Just, like,
I mean, if somebody's,
sitting there and doing it the whole time.
If you're sitting in a cramped space with somebody, like, on a plane, and somebody starts brushing their hair, mm-hmm. there's, like, stuff coming out off your head.
Yeah.
It's like dandruff and loose hairs and God knows what else you might have... Dry bits of stuff.
Yeah, who knows what's in there.
Yeah, and I mean, you're eating your burrito and it's falling in there.
There's some ladies who, like, need a hairbrush to be able to, like, say, put their hair up in a ponytail. But that's not really brushing your hair. That's just using a brush as an assistant to further maintain your situation.
I think if it's, like, a quick adjustment, mm-hmm. it's one thing.
But if it's just, like,
prolonged maintenance.
Yeah.
Like,
spreading your sebum throughout your follicles.
Yeah, you can do it in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a great show.
How the hell did we get on this?
No, we were talking about grown men fighting on the internet, and then we were talking about things that we don't talk about on the internet, and then we were talking about clients eating sandwiches badly, and then we were talking about people on planes eating sandwiches badly, and then we were talking about people on planes eating burritos, and then people on planes painting their nails, and then brushing their hair, and then putting their hair in ponytails, and then sticking the burrito.
That's pretty good memory.
And they're... Yeah.
I think you captured the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're done.
Great podcast.
Yeah, great podcast.
Thanks so
today.
Much for coming on this week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. So it's what, like 80 degrees outside?
It's very hot for San Francisco.
For San Francisco. So we get like 3 days a year where it's over 80 degrees, and today was one of them.
Whew.
So I think... So everybody wants to go outside. It's also the end of the day.
Yeah. We had a fire alarm test thing, so everybody in my building had to leave
today.
Did
we pull the fire alarm?
Who knows who did?
Yeah.
It's funny, because there's a lot of startups in my building, and it was amazing to see how many people had decided to wear their Medium t-shirts today. Medium is in my building. Just a lot of guys, like, traveling in packs wearing the same t-shirt. I think it's weird. You don't work at the Apple store. You don't have to wear your... Do people here, like, wear Mule logo t-shirts to work every day? Like,
no, not I mean, everyone. We haven't done shirts in forever.
Yeah. Well, and your shirts were, like, they weren't just Mule shirts. They were themed in
different... There were a couple Mule shirts.
Yeah.
Like, we had the basic Mule logo shirt.
Yeah, you had the cool design one. I have that one. I still wear it.
Which one's that?
It just says design in, like, collegiate font.
Oh, right.
It's good.
It's a takeoff on the old Animal House college shirt.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I'll wear it.
Yeah, I like that one. But no, they you'll get, like, one person wearing one a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah. Not just, like, packs.
Someone brought up uniforms the other day.
In what context?
Like, we should all have uniforms.
Were they being serious?
It comes up about once a year. And I decide I don't want to spend the next 3 weeks debating uniforms, so I put a quick end to it.
What would a uniform...
Also, it's a horrible idea.
...look like? What would a uniform look like at a design or technology company?
Black.
Just black?
Black, like, turtleneck, blue jeans.
Like, and a beret and a cigarette or something?
Nah, I think we're beyond that.
A pair of bongos?
Well, no, an e-cigarette.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Explain vaping to me.
Explain it to you?
Yeah.
It's a battery that you smoke.
So is...
There's some sort of a liquid.
So what do you call the thing you vape? Vape is a verb, right?
A vape pen?
So is that different than an e-cigarette?
No, it's the same. I mean, it's the same thing. I think that e-cigarette is a subsection of a vape pen, which could include substances other than tobacco. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what other substance is.
So that thing that, what is that right there? That's, what is that you have?
What is what? I don't have one. You're just lying. No, so usually it is a large battery and then a small tube of liquid. With a small heating element in between the battery and the liquid. And when you take a drag off of the battery part of it, which has like a little hole in it, then it activates the heating element, and the heating element heats up the liquid to its vaporization point, and then you inhale the vapor from it. It is allegedly healthier than smoking. Because you're getting vapor instead of smoke. Yeah, its health benefits are not necessarily proven yet. Well, not health benefits. It's lack of... It's lack of harm. Because you're still putting something in your body, and you're still breathing in something, and it's probably less terrible than cigarette smoke.
Most things are.
Yeah, most things are. Marshmallows,
sure.
For instance, which are not good for you. But I don't know why I use that example.
I see a ton of these on my way to work now.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them.
They just took off in the last couple months.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you're able to, even though a lot of businesses and places don't technically allow them because they're still like in a gray area, it's a lot easier to get away with vaping a vape.
We're just going to agree to call it vaping.
I don't know.
All right. That's fine.
It's a new frontier, Mike. What about smoking.
Can you vape when you fly?
I know that Virgin America specifically prohibits it.
Oh, good.
Because they have an e-cigarette in their safety video when they talk about not being able to
smoke. Oh, God, I hate that thing.
I know you do. I like the dancing.
It's terrible. And it goes on for like 15 minutes.
It goes on for just as long as any other safety video.
I flew back from Seattle yesterday. Mm-hmm. The safety video was still playing when we landed. It's so long.
Well, that's just a short flight. I was on Ryanair a year or two ago, and they were selling e-cigarettes.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, what weren't they selling to be
Well,
fair?
On Ryanair, they'll sell you crack.
Yeah.
Why were you flying Ryanair?
I was in Spain.
What's wrong?
I was in Spain.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I came out alive. But they were selling e-cigs, and like a variety of e-cigs.
Oh, this was in Europe?
Funny. Mm-hmm. Because you got your European commuters who can't go for, like, whatever, 25 minutes without smoking. And so they offered e-cigarettes at an exorbitant price.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it varies from airline to airline. And definitely in a liberal city like San Francisco, most businesses...
Not a liberal city anymore.
I air quotes liberal city.
You didn't make air quotes when you said it.
Well, I meant air quotes. We're recording. People can't see.
It's a libertarian city now.
Oh, it's true. It is a libertarian
city. It's absolutely a libertarian city.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
People smoke pot and want privatization of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't talk about this.
I might run for mayor. Can we talk about that?
Didn't Matt Honan try and run for mayor?
I tried to get Matt Honan to run for mayor.
Didn't work?
No. I might just do it myself.
You think it's going to work?
Could.
Just get Chris Sacca. Just get some...
To bankroll it?
Yeah.
It is the kind of ridiculous thing that he would throw money at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, do it in the name of charity or something. Buy him a t-shirt. Not a t-shirt, a cowboy shirt. With
a t-shirt cowboy shirt?
like the tuxedo shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, that should be the Mule's next t-shirt. I know that you stopped doing it, but you guys should make a run of
Sacca
shirts.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. The Pittsburgh guys do it.
We'll make them to make Sacca shirts.
We can get them to make Sacca shirts.
And then you can sell them by the sack.
It's going down a bad path.
You got nowhere else to be.
Speaking of flying.
Yeah.
I'm headed to San Diego in a couple weeks.
San Diego?
Yes.
I don't know what's in San Diego besides SeaWorld. Is SeaWorld even down there? I think SeaWorld is everywhere.
Yes, SeaWorld is down there. I went to SeaWorld once.
Okay.
But I don't know what's down there now, but in 2 weeks, what's going to be down there is an event apart, San Diego.
Oh, an event apart, you say?
An event apart.
Well.
The design conference for people who make websites.
Mike, is this... an event apart, like the people who are sponsoring today's episode?
Yes, it is.
Well, today's episode is sponsored by an event apart, the design conference for people who make websites. An event apart is an intensely educational 2-day learning session for passionate practitioners of standards-based web design.
That's most of our audience, by the way.
I can't believe that they put passionate practitioners in our read. This is like Peter Piper level. If you care about code as well as content, usability as well as design, an event apart is the conference you've been waiting for. Back to you, Mike.
Created by our friends Eric Meyer, the world's leading CSS authority, and Jeffrey Zeldman, creator of A List Apart and author of Designing with Web Standards, an event apart brings together 12 of the leading minds in web and interaction design for 2 days of inspiration and enlightenment, followed by an optional full-day workshop on touch, or mobile.
Attending an event apart keeps you ahead of the curve. An event apart is where Ethan Marcotte introduced the world to responsive web design, and Luke Roblowski taught the industry to design mobile first. The speakers at an event apart are scary good, and every session is entertaining, memorable, and useful.
Here's the good part. If you attend an event apart in a city near you, Let's Make Mistakes listeners, that's you guys, get a $75 discount off our second and third day events for the rest of the year.
That's a big discount.
That's a very big discount. And all you have to do is visit aneventapart.com and enter AEA Mule in the shopping cart.
Which you should probably do. And you should probably go.
And there are still a bunch of shows coming up this year. I'm speaking at some of them. I'm speaking at San Diego.
Yeah, you're like a part of the AEA Illuminati now, right?
The Illuminati. Honored to be so, I might add.
You guys all have the hats and the, I don't know.
We know things.
You know things.
We know things that are, you know, happening in the future.
Controlling the internet.
We know things.
Sure.
But no, I really enjoy speaking there.
Yeah.
I really enjoy meeting the people who go there and chatting with them.
I know. I follow you and Erica on Instagram, and I always see you guys having a great time.
It's a lot of fun, and you get to hang out with some people you know, some people that you meet for the first time, and
are friends with for life.
Yeah. So if you are going to AEA San Diego in the next couple of weeks, and you see me, say hello.
And he'll buy you a drink.
And Jesse will pay me back for those drinks.
We'll just put it on the podcast. Right?
You want to hear that song again? I want to hear the song again.
Absolutely.
Let's hear the song again.
Oh, grown men fighting on the internet. Want to make sure you don't forget that someone's right and someone's wrong. Oh, this will go all night long. Grown men fighting on the internet. Why, they won't even break a sweat. Typing their screeds in empty threads. Oh, this will go all night long. I have the best persona. It's mean and thinks it's right. It protects me from opinions that I don't like. All grown men fighting on the internet never say things that they'll regret. Regret implies intelligence, so this'll go all night long. Grown men fighting on the internet want you to know you're in their debt for their tireless efforts at etiquette. Oh, this'll go all night long. Words fly across my display. Some asshole's wrong again. It's my pleasure and my duty to rip him a new one. Oh, grown men fighting on the internet all want to have the last word, you better bet. But there's no last word on the internet. There's no last word on the internet. There is no last word on the internet. Oh, grown men fighting on the internet.
It's still funny.
Still funny.
It's still
maybe
great.
Even more funny.
I think you're right. I think I liked it better the second time.
So I know that we talked about not talking about clients on the internet, but this is on the podcast.
We can talk about clients on the podcast. I think that's why people listen, is to hear things about clients.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
I was on a call recently, like a review call.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like with a larger team. So you know, the people that we work with and some people that they work with at their company. And reviewing something with a higher up there.
Okay.
And one of the things that we noticed, or that was just odd to us, was how obsequious some of the people on the call were to the higher ups at their company. I know that sounds a little bit vague.
You might want to explain that word for.
Obsequious is kind of, it's like suck up.
Okay.
But it's like a fancier word of for saying suck up. So a little bit
brown
pandering,
nosing.
A little bit brown nosing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking about this today because I know that, you know, as especially like doing biz dev, I'm not claiming that I never suck up to people at all. But I was thinking about like where the line is for
sucking up.
Sucking up. Where's the line? Where do you have a line?
Well, I don't think of it as sucking up. You have to higher ups. You're talking about how to deal with higher ups.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Well, and I think, I mean, I have my own way of dealing with higher ups.
So there's one of the reasons that people hire outside agencies, mm-hmm. or like you and me, mm-hmm. is because we are going to, because they're hoping that we will say things to their bosses that they are unable to. Or unwilling to.
Oh, which we love doing.
Because, honestly, they might, you know, it puts their job on the line. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to lose their job. Mm-hmm. And we are the people coming in from the outside. Mm-hmm. And we have a little bit more leeway in what we can say. Mm-hmm. This is, unfortunately, and I don't know why this happens, but it happens. I've seen it happen a million times. The minute you get hired by somebody internally, mm-hmm. like the minute you become somebody's employee, mm-hmm. they trust you like 15% less than they would have had yeah. they not hired you.
Well, because you're suddenly like their subordinate.
Right.
And, yeah.
So, I mean, I can tell a client the exact same thing that an employee tells them. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they'll trust me more. Mm-hmm.
25% more.
Because I came in from the outside. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, we could tell them the exact same thing the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting. Because I think that when I think about even companies, like companies that I've worked for and the way that I've treated my higher-ups, I still treat them more like peers than like higher-ups. Because I always feel like that's what gets me more preferential treatment.
I think that's a really good I think that's smart.
And obviously not in every circumstance. Like if they pass me work and I'm just like, ha, funny Joe, like you do this. Like, you know, I'm not going to do that. But I think socially and just in the context of like discussing design.
Right. So we have to build relationships with people very, very quickly mm-hmm. in client services. Like you meet somebody for the first time, you're saying hello, and you're immediately trying to earn their trust mm-hmm. Or earn their respect. And 2 weeks later, you're telling them that their digital strategy sucks. Mm-hmm. And they need to be able to hear that. Mm-hmm. Without being insulted.
Yeah.
And also know that it and trust it mm-hmm. and trust that you're telling them the right thing. I mean, you got to back it up too. But you got to tell them because that's why they hired you, mm-hmm. right? If somebody hires you to fix their digital strategy and their current one sucks and they think it's awesome, you got to tell them what you find. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it in a way that they believe you and that also that they might not fire you. Because ultimately you want to fix it.
Yeah.
That's your goal, is to fix it. So you have to build these very quick relationships with people where you have to get to a peer place pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And you have to set that tone. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can't be, like, overly familial with people, mm-hmm. like, on day one. Like, if somebody's the CEO of a company of 10,000 people and you're, you know, the head of a design agency that they hired, mm-hmm. obviously they're... You know, they have the power to fire you. They're a more powerful person than you are. They're the head of this company. They got there by doing things mm-hmm. that. So you have to extend some respect their way, but very quickly you need to get to a place where you can look at them peer to peer, and you have to behave like an expert in the thing that you're talking about. In a way that
you have to pretend you know what's going on the whole time.
The step one mm-hmm. in knowing what's going on is pretending that you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's like step one for being confident about something.
Oh, yeah.
Pretend you're confident.
Yeah, that's why I'm here today. I have no idea what's going on.
And, you know, eventually you'll just be confident and you'll forget that you're pretending.
Mm-hmm.
So if...
Do you ever think that people... So, you know, you're talking about getting to that place with clients where you can tell them what the problems are.
Right.
And tell them that their stuff sucks.
Well, you know, let's be clear about something. We're using sucks as shorthand.
We're using sucks as shorthand. Is suboptimal
but
in being able to achieve the goals.
Shorthand, but not too much shorthand.
Yeah.
Because you also don't want to beat around the bush with it.
Yeah.
You don't want to write like a page long email that can be summed up with your digital strategy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, I mean, don't bury the lead and don't hope that they come to the conclusion that you want them to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know what, Bob, your digital strategy is really off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know that you think it's accomplishing something, but it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, don't say this sucks, but also don't go on and on and on. Don't try to get them to come to the conclusion that you came to. Just tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And find a direct but respectful way to tell them that.
Yeah.
And there's no place for hope mm-hmm. in client communications. Just tell people what they need to understand
mm-hmm.
and be direct about it. And that's it.
That's great.
And don't ask them.
Yeah.
the worst thing that, an inexperienced or young designer or somebody just starting out can do is to approach the client as if they're asking the client to make design decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when you especially that can be a really insidious problem.
No, I've seen this like the minute that a designer starts like, I have six ways we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at all of the six ways.
Mm-hmm.
You are losing the respect of the room because you're not making a strong recommendation for something.
Yeah. And then when they turn it back to you from every time we've ever, if we're doing a logo design, we do give different design directions. And when they do turn it back to you and you're like, oh, well, number three is our favorite option. They
so
still
why did you show me one and they, two?
Yeah,
why like, did you show
weakens,
me one and two?
It weakens everything that you say in the future. So yeah, that's a great bit of advice for people. What we've done also is we have made keynote decks that just show one. And if the people are not like applauding at the end of it, then we have like some back pages of that deck.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great strategy.
Yeah.
I've walked into meetings with stuff in my back pocket that I wasn't going to pull out unless I had to.
Yeah. And then sometimes one of the things in your back pocket do really resonate with them. But I think that it really helps to give a very strong recommendation at first, because then when they look at, say, whatever, the back four options are, and they tell you which one they like, you can be like, that is our second choice. It's amazing. Or something like that. You know, it's
people hire you because you do something that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how or they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So and we all do this in our lives. Like if my plumbing breaks,
mm-hmm.
I hire a plumber and I tell the plumber what the problem is. I don't tell the plumber how to fix it because I have no goddamn idea. I do have a goal that I want to get to at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like by the time you're done your work, my faucet should not leak.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, and $800 later.
Right, so $800 later, the plumber did his thing and my faucet doesn't leak and it's been a successful process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you need to treat the design process as well. You need to come in as the expert,
mm-hmm.
and you need to ask your client, okay, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And have them explain what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And again, moving to our plumber metaphor, my faucet's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell them, okay, here's how I'm going to fix it. Mm-hmm. Here's how much it's going to cost. Here's how much time it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually...
Sticking with our plumbing metaphor, uh-huh. just a little bit more, you know, the plumber could say, okay, well, we could do a plastic pipe and it'll cost $4, or we could do kind of metal or pipe?
Copper
pipe. That's expensive. And it'll cost $50, but it'll last you 50 years. Mm-hmm. So which one of these do you want to go to? And that's when you present options to the client.
Yeah.
And you present them in a way that's like, here's the benefit of this option, here's the benefit of this option.
Mm-hmm. So actually going from that, I want to talk about kind of go in reverse and talk about the opposite of this, which is when designers are maybe, I don't think that too honest or too, but maybe too critical of clients' situations. Because sometimes there are people that come to us that need a plastic pipe. Like
yep.
they just need a plastic pipe and they can only afford a plastic pipe.
Well, give them a plastic pipe.
Give them a plastic pipe. Now I see... And this is something that our designers struggled with a little bit in the beginning, just because, you know, like, you want to do the best job for everybody. And I think that part of doing the best job is identifying when clients need a plastic versus
right.
a copper pipe.
Right. If somebody can only afford a plastic pipe
mm-hmm.
and you're telling them the only way to fix this is with a copper pipe, then
mm-hmm.
you're not doing the best job because
yeah.
you're putting those people in debt. To fix their problem.
I see that a lot with sometimes other people that I talk to that like are maybe in client services where they kind of scoff at people that don't have that much money to work with. And I always have to remind people like $5,000 for a website. I know that, you know, Mule deals with much larger contracts and so do we. But $5,000 is still so much money.
It's a lot of money.
It's so much money. And
people don't know how much a website costs.
Yeah.
And why should they?
Why should they?
Why should they?
I mean, yeah. It's...
I mean, we know.
Yeah.
We know because we do it for a living. And we can add it all up and we can give you a total. I mean, you tell us, you know, what you need your website to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the numbers start going off in our brain.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to take X amount of time. It's mm-hmm. going to cost X amount of money. Because I can map all of that shit to the people that need to work on that project and how much they cost per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I can build an estimate for how much
yeah.
this, but okay. this is what
you're
I
gonna need
do.
A custom CMS. Like people, I always refer to it as just like you're building them a castle and all they need is a tent.
Yep.
All they need is a tent.
And
they just need a static website.
And you know, you shouldn't need $1 million to get a website.
Mm-mm.
There's plenty of people out there who want and need websites or small businesses or, you know, their little at home thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to have a nice website and they should be able to get it fairly cheaply.
Yeah.
And there's lots of
yeah.
people who do those things for, you know, that amount of money
yeah.
and are happy to.
I think it's a good skill for design folk and anybody, any professional person to be able to kind of like readjust their monocle and examine a problem from like their client's perspective rather than like what is design right now in 2014.
Right.
Like are you using the right fonts? Are you using the right weights? Like I don't know. So many people that I see, and actually going back to like that dribble commenter that had told us that our logo sucked, is just like, we made the best logo for our client. And our client loved that logo, and it was really great for what he was doing. And some dummy on the internet was just like, oh, well, at the time we had done a flat style logo when skeuomorphism was in full swing. And he criticized it for basically not being, like, of the time,
mm-hmm.
Which we were right on the long run. It did get bought by Yahoo. Just saying. Anyway, yeah. That's all I have to say on that. See, we pulled a good episode out of that.
We always pull a good episode out of somewhere, yeah. I think, usually.
First, we were talking about burritos. We got all the way to client services. We always find a way.
We always get back to it.
Yeah.
I want to thank our sponsor and Event Apart, the design conference for people who make these websites. And remember, if you go to an eventapart.com and you enter AEA Mule in the shopping cart, you will get a $75 discount.
Which you should do, because that's a great deal. I'd also like to thank David McCreath. I don't know what he goes by.
He goes by both.
David McCreath for writing that fantastic song.
That's a good song.
It's a great song.
And seriously, listen to his podcast. It might get personal.
It is on the Mule Radio Network.
Yep. And if you want to become a $5 fan, you can go to tugboatyards.com/mistakes.
And I'll read, I mean, somebody will read your name on the podcast.
Right, our mystery $5 fangirl will read your name in a funny voice. Not a funny voice, that's her actual voice.
Yeah, this is my funny voice.
Yeah.
Doing a voice for the show. Well, it's been real.
Let's go out and enjoy that 80-degree day.
All right.
All right. We will see you all again next week, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.